It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Katzenmatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Katz, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
All right, Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks. Everybody's very sweaty and excited because of what's going to happen tomorrow night, both at WABC in New York, the Red Apple Audio Networks, big affiliate in the big city, plus what's going to happen in Hollywood. Because there is a movie, Marty Supreme. You thought that featured Kevin O'Leary. No, minor. Timothy Chardonnay, minor. Somebody named Odette, who I thought was a folk singer who died. It confused me. And Gwyneth Paltrow. And I'm like, what? And I saw the movie. I urge you to see the movie because John Katzenmatidis plays a key role in the plot of this movie. And it is my plan, my hope, that John Katzenmatidis will join us on Another Side of Midnight. I realize he's a drive-time talent. Also the owner of the station. He has tremendous information about this movie, Marty Supreme. He was a star of it. I looked at him in the movie, and I'm like, man, he's a movie star. And then the way he delivered the line that he has, lines, plural? I'm like, this is smart. Like, I'm like, John, more than a hobby, John. All right, now listen, I'm Walter Sterling, and I don't deal in theories. There's a lot of really interesting theories that I hear on radio stations like this, on the Red Apple Audio Networks. Good evening. I don't deal in theories. We broke a story on this show. Ross Coulthart, a reporter for this show and News Nation from Sydney, Australia, live, broke this story. Retired Air Force Major General Neil McCasland vanished within a one-hour window while his wife was out for an appointment, leaving behind his phone and glasses. While a gun and his wallet remain unaccounted for, according to authorities in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's a lot of baloney. What do you mean his gun was unaccounted for? This was a military man. That man stored his gun in exactly the same safe spot every time he came home, and you know it. I'd like to know what you think. What do you feel? What is the conspiracy here? Because this was a lot of nonsense. I'll give you the phone number in a second, but I'm going to give you a few more facts. The sheriff's office released a new timeline Thursday describing the 68-year-old man aerospace engineer's last known movements. 2 weeks after his disappearance, this came out, and after the FBI, Kash Patel, joined the search effort. He interacted with a home repair man around 10 a.m., the day he went missing. Then he vanished between 11 a.m. and noon, while his wife was out of the house for an appointment. His phone, glasses, and wearable devices, what the hell is that, were found in the home. His wallet, hiking boots, and a .38 caliber revolver unaccounted for. A .38. Search teams found a U.S. Air Force sweatshirt just over a mile from his home, but authorities have not confirmed it belonged to McCasland because, you know, they're all over the countryside. Those U.S. Air Force sweatshirts are everywhere. You go to a bus stop, there it is. Hit the subway, there it is. The sheriff's office said he was last seen wearing a light green button-up outdoor shirt with a button-down collar, very preppy, very military, and two chest pockets. Strange. He's described as 5'11", in great shape, white hair, blue eyes, believed to have left his residence on foot. He's an avid outdoorsman, known to often hike, cycle in the northeast heights of the Sandia foothills. In a statement, they asked residents on Quail Run Court Northeast and roads leading to and from the area to check and submit home security video. Now they want all of the people in the neighborhood to go to their Ring doorbell and check between 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. on February 27th. I hope those Ring doorbell subscriptions are paid for, because now we've learned just how vital that is. Now, is this some scam? Is this a scam to sell Ring doorbell subscriptions? Is this a scam to scare people between this and Guthrie to make you go, whoa, we really need to get the Ring doorbell. We really need to sign up for that. No, this is a horrible story. This man, a major general, not some private, not some footman. This is a major general. Why was this so important? Why is it that you and I are talking about a 65-year-old man wandering into the woods and disappearing? Because he disappeared. A day or two, the president announced that he was going to release every UFO file. He was going to go for transparency. Go, 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 go for transparency. That's what the president said. But according to military sources and our private sources, thanks to Ross Coulthart, Ross broke this story on Another Side of Midnight. This is his story. And he's had follow-ups with us. He'll have another complete update next week. Hopefully by then, the Major General will be found. But the important part about the story is this Major General knew every single secret there was to know. There was no military official who knew more about the UFOs and the NAPs than this Major General. None of them knew more. None of them. And that's why there's nerves within the UFO community and nerves within the military community that this man disappeared. William Neal McCasland vanished within a one-hour window while his wife was out for an appointment. And he left behind his phone and glasses. Have you ever left the house without your phone and glasses, without running back within 8 seconds to get your phone and glasses? But his gun and his wallet, they can't find that. They don't know where that is, but oh gee, a little bit down the road, they found an Air Force sweatshirt. Because, you know, they say we don't know if it's his for sure. What do you mean you don't know if it was his for sure? How many of those are on the countryside? How many of those are lying on the side of the road? You know if it's an officer's sweatshirt. You know if it's his or not. It was. I feel it was. Now here's my phone number. What do you feel? What is this mystery? 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I don't deal in theory. I deal in this conversation. How do you feel? What do you think happened to the Major General, the man who was the keeper of the secrets? This man had all the secrets on the UFOs. That's why this is so important. And then we've got Savannah Guthrie's mother. And yet Savannah is traipsing around New York City in Manhattan. She was seen in Manhattan today. And again, this is a story that's a mystery. It makes no sense. There are few clues. The clues that exist make no sense. You're Savannah Guthrie. And I know there are people tired of hearing about this. But I look at the pieces, and I can't be tired of hearing it because of a phenomena that you learned about in high school, maybe college, psychological dissonance. What's that? That's when your brain can't settle. If you ever have trouble falling asleep, I will tell you exactly how to fall asleep. Would you like to know? All right, here we go. The way you fall asleep is not with Ambien. It's not with wacky medications. It's not with tea, not with strange herbal teas that you learned about in high school from the hippie friend. Everybody had a hippie friend. And that friendship maintained until the hippie friend revealed her true secret. She didn't shave her legs. The minute she revealed she didn't shave her legs, boom! You had no more sexual appetite for her. You were scared of her. You kind of not talked to her for a while. And you never understood why she didn't shave her legs. The way you fall asleep, my friend, my midnight misfit, the way you fall asleep, if you're lying there wondering what you don't know to be true, the future, what's going to happen in the future, what are we worried about, does he love me, Does she love me? Am I going to be fired tomorrow? At any time, in my case, at any moment, they're going to go, what the hell did we do? What does Margot think about this? And then you think about the past. What if I had done this? I made a mistake not doing this. Why did I do this? If you imagine that you can rewrite the past and predict the future, those are two lies. Those are fortune teller lies, right? Those are fortune in many countries around the world, not ours. God help us. In many countries around the world, it is illegal to be a fortune teller because it is fraud. It is fraud. You and I have five senses. None of them are for the future. None of them are for the past. They're all present tense. Every sense we have is present tense. What we feel right now, see right now, touch right now, hear right now, it's all present tense. We don't have that sixth eye that you learned about on Ancient Aliens from Robert Clotworthy. We don't have any of that. You'll never fall asleep. If you think about those lies, you will never fall asleep. If you want to fall asleep, think about what you know to be true. Today is Sunday. Today is Sunday. Today is Sunday. Walter Sterling, great host. Walter Sterling, great host. Red Apple Audio Networks, tremendous entertainment. These are all truths. If you start thinking about the truth over and over again, and it could be as simple as the sky is blue, the ocean is beautiful, there's no reason we're on Mars. Whatever you want that you know to be true, you'll fall right to sleep because then your mind can settle and you don't suffer from psychological dissonance. Well, that's the problem with these two stories and why they won't go away. It's why for 1,000 years we kept going over and over and over again, frame after frame after frame of the Kennedy assassination. We studied one frame at a time, the Zapruder film, the secret Zapruder film, the hidden Zapruder film. Why? Because something didn't make sense, and it didn't. That's why we never stopped thinking about it. And the story about this major general who disappeared doesn't make sense. The Savannah Guthrie mother story, something doesn't make sense. Pick your part. But my number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. You are in the FBI. What would be the next question you'd ask? What would be how you'd get further down the road to the solution of these mysteries? Because I'll tell you what I would do. I'd drink that coffee, excellent coffee, and then I would say, wait a minute. Savannah Guthrie has left town. Well, I wouldn't leave town if my mother had disappeared. I'd stay really close to her house. I would never leave that area. I'd be walking the fields every day for hours with anybody who would come with me, with all the bloodhounds I could find, and they'd be going with me until I had an answer, because I could not rest until I had an answer. Could you? I could not rest. I believe what happened, because usually people get murdered, just saying, by relatives. This poor woman, this woman in her 80s, went to dinner with a relative. She comes home with the relatives. She's brought home by the relatives. And then the door opens and she disappears. There's blood on the floor. Everybody disappears. There's strange people on the Ring doorbell. But notice the footage. Notice the photos of that Ring doorbell. Look at the backgrounds. What time of day is that? What is the date on that? We don't know the time of day. We don't know the date, do we? We don't know the date or the time of day that those photos of the crochet ski mask appeared. Who the hell wears a crocheted ski mask? What is that? In Arizona. So stop it. I believe that Savannah knows exactly what happened. And I believe she has participated in the story that she was kidnapped. The mom was kidnapped. Well, where did that story come from? Because there's not a lick of proof that there was a kidnap. There's no return address on the request for the money. And there's no live body. No one's showing up and saying, here's mom. Okay. Now we have the Major General. What is the problem with this story? The Major General was a major, is a Major General, is a Major General. They're not like guys who go out for walks. They're not flaky people. They're the opposite of flaky people. He goes out for a walk, disappears. Takes his service revolver, probably. Didn't take his wallet. What? No, he took his wallet. He didn't take his keys or his phone. He didn't take his keys or his phone. And then, oh, down the road, they found a sweatshirt that is a sort of sweatshirt that somebody in the Air Force wears. Worst case, it happened moments after the President of the United States said, yeah, I'm going to release all of the files on the UFOs. I'm going to release all of them. And then the next day, 3 million of those files disappeared. And then the next day, the Major General who knew all the secrets disappeared. What do you think? My number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Another Side of Midnight, Walter M. Sterling, Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Katzenmatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream,
working for Katz, cause he's part of the team, on the Red Apple Audio Network.
Thank you, our musical director, Lee Harris, for that brilliant jingle representing John Katzenmatidis' premiere into American moviedom, a movie that's up for the Academy Awards tomorrow. I say it wins. Marty Supreme, starring Timothy Chardonnay and Gwyneth Paltrow. And Keith in Cincinnati, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Networks with Walter Sterling. I'd like to know how you feel about these two mysteries, these two disappearances, and do you have gas?
Well, I got an idea about the guy. I'm not sure about the Nancy Guthrie thing.
Go ahead.
I think the Major General's missing because somebody was seriously afraid and scared to death that he was going to testify before Congress in congressional hearings about the UFO stuff and what he knows. I think somebody's seriously afraid and scared to death he was going to be a big-time whistleblower.
Keith, are you afraid of the UFO information? Is this something that scares you? Why does our government feel this desperate need to protect us?
Not me. I'm saying somebody else was afraid and scared to death this guy was going to testify before Congress.
I heard that, but I'm asking you personally, are you afraid of this information coming out? Are you afraid that there are little green men or that there are UFOs or that the minute this gets revealed about UFOs and who's controlling them, our government becomes, what will it become? Superfluous, useless.
No, you see, I've always thought my entire life that there's life out there in outer space beyond Earth, you know, because our universe is so vast and there's so many galaxies and stuff like that, that there's super intelligent civilizations out there that evolved millions, maybe a billion or 2 years before us. No, I'm not afraid at all. I always thought that was quite possible.
Me too. And that's why it doesn't scare me. So therefore, there must be another motivation that this information is kept a secret. There must be another reason other than we don't want to scare the public. I don't think so. Hey, Keith, I appreciate you listening to Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. I appreciate you calling. Thank you very much. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. If they're not they, and you know who they are, if they're not afraid of revealing this information to us, what is the conspiracy? What is the secret? When I hear that they announce that maybe it fell from the sky, that it hit our atmosphere and fell down, and that we captured it, took it away, gave it to Lockheed Martin, Bell Labs, and they reverse engineered it. Like, yeah, I have a lot of trouble believing that if a craft could travel light years or even just from Mars and arrived here and then it had trouble with our atmosphere like 747. Now, I'm not buying that either. You traveled light years like on Star Trek and then you arrived and then you crashed. Nah, you missed the landing lights. You didn't have enough information. None of that makes sense. What makes sense? Follow the money. Whenever something doesn't make sense, ladies and gentlemen, when something doesn't make sense, it's because it doesn't. It's because there's a major piece of information that you didn't get. You went to bed with her. You thought you had a great time. She's in love with you. 2 months in, you discover she's married. Because something didn't make sense, and then you discovered, oh, she's married. That's how it works. Where is the, oh, she's married in this? Where is it? It has to be money. Because if there is advanced technologies that our government has captured, is holding on to, regardless of where it's from, why are they holding on to it secretly? I believe they're holding on to it secretly because that increases the value. As long as they hold on to it and can allow corporations, other governments to see it when they want, describe it when they want, take it apart, examine every piece, know what's valuable in it, then they have something they can sell. That's the value. That's the secret. Aaron in New Jersey, welcome to Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222. Aaron, welcome to the big show, the biggest all-night show in American radio. Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good now that you're here and you're from Jersey. Where in Jersey?
Hillside.
Oh, have we talked? Have we talked before?
No, I actually, I never listened to the show before. I just tuned in because I'm driving late at night. And now I just turn on the radio to keep myself awake.
All right, now, Aaron, I'm just going to tell you two things and then I really want to hear why you called. Aaron, my dad grew up on Roanoke Avenue in Hillside.
Oh, and, nice.
And it didn't look like that when he grew up. But he grew up in Roanoke Avenue. When I saw they were selling homes for $500,000 on that street, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. And we went to Five Points every Saturday night of my life. Have you been to the Galloping Hill Inn? Have you been to Five Points for the hot dogs?
No, I can't say I have.
All right, now, in order to continue listening to the show in the future, it's at the Five Points of Union and Hillside, and it's called the Galloping Hill Inn, but them locals call it Five Points. I not only do I urge you to go there and have a hot dog and a hamburger, Walter Sterling will treat you to that because you will be so happy that you tried that hot dog or that hamburger. It's remarkable. It is the best you're ever going to have. Now, as for you, Aaron, why did you call?
So, you might not like the reason for my call. I want to object to you raising the, you know, theory that, you know, Nancy Guthrie was, you know, attacked by her family. I think you need some serious evidence of that, you know, in order to make that allegation, because that's not something that doesn't affect people. That has an effect on the people who are, you know, Savannah Guthrie. That has an effect on the family. You're accusing them of a very serious crime.
It's my opinion.
I understand, but you are a influential person stating your opinion on a radio with a lot of followers, and you do influence people's, you know, outlook on life. You should provide some evidence for that.
For starters, it sure as heck is not my very first opinion. It's not the very first. I'm not the very first person to say that. Secondly, there is no evidence otherwise. The best evidence is that the last people we know she saw were her relatives. Now, I didn't say which relative. I didn't say who I think did it. I haven't mentioned any of that. And man, Aaron, I hope I'm wrong. Do you have a better theory?
No, but my first theory would not be that Savannah Guthrie, who's been working tirelessly to find her grandmother, is in on it. You know, why would she be? he's the victim.
Because, consider this. Let's say Savannah learns about this. Mom disappeared. Oh, my gosh. And what they found was that mom was alive, maybe fell down, maybe got shoved by a relative, hit her head, and died. They hadn't planned on that. They weren't expecting mom to die. Now they had a problem. They were part of the reason she died. They had to come up with a wacky story. The wacky story was, no, she was kidnapped. Here's the ransom. And they didn't think it through because there's no evidence of a kidnapping. That's a big problem. The other thing is, in terms of me being an influencer, Aaron, and this is very important, I have a wife and 1, 2, 3 daughters, no sons. I have 2 female cats. Therefore, I have no influence at any point in my life or at any time of day. Thank you for your call, Aaron. Thank you very much for calling. And I owe you a hot dog, buddy. Gary in Westchester, welcome to Another Side of Midnight. Red Apple Audio Networks, Walter Sterling at 800-848-9222.
Oh, hi, Walter. The Nancy Guthrie case, I just think the perps who kidnapped and robbed that house, I think they're freaking out because they didn't expect to rob some little old lady's house and it to turn into a national manhunt where everybody on the planet knows who Nancy Guthrie is. Let's face it, in Mexico, they kidnap people and they drive them to the ATM and they give them $2,000 and they let them go. They're freaking out. They're laying low. And I believe it's two perps. The guy at the front door was there to smash the camera and the front door camera. And the other two perps went into the back of the house, walked through the house and opened the front door, and they took Nancy away and robbed the joint. But I think about it. 2 weeks later, they show the front door Ring camera video, right? Now, just pitch this. The three perps are sitting on a couch watching TV, and the Ring camera video comes on TV on the news. There's three perps looking at it. How many perps do you think are left sitting on that couch after they look at the Ring camera video and the one perp is looking straight into the camera? I think it's 3 minus 1. There's probably 2 left sitting there. And the thing with the Major General, who knows yet? We don't know everything that's going on right now. We have no idea. This thing about flying space aliens, landing in America. Yeah, right. Listen, there are no space aliens on America's planet. There have never been, and there never will be. And it's just a cottage industry. And it looks like each industry gets introduced like every month. Kidnapping, UFOs, JFK, Sasquatch, Bigfoot, and people make money off this. If money is being made off it, they're going to keep bringing this stuff up. And getting back to the Nancy Guthrie case, it's going to be solved through electronics, videos, biological evidence. It takes time. Let's face facts. In America today, the best FBI investigators are working side by side with co-workers who are incompetent. Supervisors are incompetent. Look at Sheriff Droopy Dog in Pima County, Arizona. Listen to this guy. He, you know what he has? I like the way you say that. You know what he has? He has little big man syndrome. That's what he has.
And he got fired from his first job because he lied on his resume. When you lie on your resume, that is a serious moral flaw, because it goes to every aspect of your life, your past, your personality, everything, how you present yourself to the world. Worst thing you can do is lie on a resume. Isn't that right, Gary? Have you lied on a resume, Gary?
No, I've never lied on a resume, but there people have done it and have gotten away with it because I think, I don't know how old you are. You sound like a young gentleman. I'm a young gentleman. And
I have a 14-year-old daughter. Next question.
Okay, but so the thing is, years ago, this is what I was told, that people were told that they were overqualified for the job. That right. was just a way to get rid of people right. who were applying for a job. And they had to lie. They had to say they had a high school diploma. They couldn't put down they had a college degree. They wouldn't get a job. So, listen, there's always two sides to a coin. But you know what? It can't be heads I win and tails I win, too. And that's what's taken place in the last 50 years. Now, getting back to the Nancy Guthrie case, I just think it's obvious these guys have been to her house before, these perps. They saw the house. They saw a little old lady living by herself in this big, gigantic house. They figured there was tons of cash in there, jewelry, and they were going to kidnap her and rob the joint. That's what took place there.
Listen, Gary, I thank you for the call. Here's the problem with that they watched for a while. Thank you for the call, Gary. The problem is that if they watched her house now and then, and they were part of this relatively small elite community, if they were repair people, whatever, or they lived down the street, they knew exactly who she was. They knew whose mother she was. They knew. Walter Sterling, Red Apple Audio Networks, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. You and I are talking about the mysteries of the moment, the mysteries of the moment. To me, today I saw an astonishing mystery, and I'd love to hear what you think about it. I don't know. Let's see if they're any good. Let's see if you're any good. Travis Kelce. Now, I don't know anything about sports. The only thing I know about sports is that I'd like to have Trevor Lawrence's life. That's all I know. Trevor Lawrence, the Jacksonville football player. I know nothing about football. I know nothing about downs or sports. Don't know a thing about it. But I look at Trevor Lawrence, the first-round draft pick 3 seasons ago. I look at his beautiful wife, his beautiful kid, his $30 million a year contract, and that freaking hair. How dare he? That's all I know. But Travis Kelce, Kansas City, whatever it is, he did a tribute video highlight of the Chiefs team bond. Okay, that's great. The social media was full of cool tribute videos, not only to Kelce, but also to his bond with quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Well, here's the thing. Today he announced that he's not retiring. He's engaged to Taylor Swift. They're buying a house near Cleveland Heights, which is where he grew up. To find a Taylor Swift quality house near Cleveland Heights, that'll be a special time. They're going to have to look in. There are only like one or two elite suburbs near Cleveland, Hunting Valley. And there's another one there. But like Hunting Valley is the only one that's going to have a 25,000 square foot mansion with a music room. You know, she'll want one with a music room already in it, you know, a music room. And that's what she's going to want. And the mystery to me is, why did Travis Kelce, who's 37 and has all the money you and I could ever dream of, and Taylor Swift, and is looking at retirement where he could get a nice Fox television deal, and say all sorts of foxy things. Look at them go. That's incredible. You know, that's better than what Brady did. That's sports play-by-play is also a mystery to me. Why the hell doesn't he resign? Why doesn't he resign? He doesn't have to play anymore. He only increasingly risks getting injured. And then I thought about it for 8 seconds. He doesn't want to stay home. Could you imagine being stuck in the house with Taylor Swift all the time? Or worse, house hunting? Think back a moment, my friend. Remember when you looked for a residence, an apartment, or a house with the husband or wife that you wound up with? Remember when you did that? How did that go? Did that cement the relationship? Did that seal the marriage? The worst mistake I see married couples make, the worst mistake, is I'll walk through the supermarket, and there's the husband and wife. There's the man and woman. They're the two partners, my partner for life. They're the two partners. And I'm like, what? Always shop alone. Never shop together. The biggest mistake you can make is to shop with your partner, your wife, your husband. Because what do? They argue over things. Do we really need this sauce? Why are you buying a can that big? We're never going to eat it. That's my favorite. No, nobody in our house eats it. All right, now You're with a billionaire named Taylor Swift, two billionaire. And you got Travis there, who's a good, you know, at least half a billion. And now they're trying to buy a house together. And she wants a music room. And he wants air conditioning. I want central air and a big sofa. That's all I care about. Where are we going to put the beer? Where are we going to put the beer? You know, I've seen rich people's refrigerators. They're no different than your refrigerators. In the back there are jars of stuff that people forgot about long ago. There's nothing fancier in there. But the beer! I want the beer! Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood is a terrific film reviewer. I hate use the word critic because this is an NPR. And Mateus Boom Boom in Hollywood joins us from time to time. He's a good friend. He has ideas about the movies. He has ideas about the movies he's seen. And you realize, Mateus, that John Catsimatidis is in his movie premiere role in this Marty movie with Timothy Chardonnay. John Catsimatidis has a key role. Oh, wait. Oh, I'm prepared. I actually did show prep. Hold on. wait. I can't believe I don't have it right here. There's been nothing more important for me than that. All right, you go ahead and start to tell us what you think's going to happen tomorrow night at the Oscars at the Academy Awards.
Well, I'll tell you that, certainly, but I have to say that John in that movie is so perfect for that role. He actually may be the best thing in it because I was not fond of that movie, but he was so perfect as Marty Supreme's initial promoter and supporter. I mean, that scene where Chalamet is trying to convince him to make these ping pong balls that are orange with the name Marty Supreme on them is a very classic New York kind of moment. And
which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Marty, custom ball like that is going to cost a lot of money.
He's presenting to this man with money his idea for an orange ping pong ball, because if you play with a white ping pong ball, it is easily camouflaged by white T-shirts and a white background. And he shows it to John Catsimatidis, this character who plays amazingly a wealthy man. And John's reaction is priceless.
An orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Marty, custom ball like that is going to cost a lot of money.
That's how he deals with the staff at WABC and Red Apple all day. We come to him with brilliant ideas, absolutely brilliant as an orange ping pong ball. And what happens?
Now look at this, an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that is going to cost a lot of money.
I don't know why John isn't up for the Oscar along with Timothy Chardonnay.
I want to know if he's handing out those orange balls at the radio station, because, you know, as movie critics, they A24 that made this movie, they sent us all this large bucket with at least 150 of those ping pong orange balls. I've been rolling on them, trying not to trip in my house over so many of these Marty Supreme ping pong balls. They may be more fun than the movie.
That's the Christmas bonus.
Well, why not? Well, you asked me to talk, Walter, about the Oscars, of course. There's a lot of buzz about Sinners making history for the first time in 98 years of the Oscars with 16 nominations, Best Picture, Director, Original Screenplay, the Paul Thomas Anderson movie, the political thriller, One Battle After Another, has had 13 nominations. Going towards Best Picture, Director, and, of course, for Leonardo DiCaprio and Tiana Taylor. Frankenstein, Guillermo del Toro's reimagining of the great Frankenstein monster, which I actually enjoyed, had 9 nominations. And Marty Supreme is nominated for 9 films as well, although there's been a lot of hoopla about Chalamet's comments about opera and ballet. And in all fairness to him, that hoopla really started as a social media furor after the voting closed. So I don't think that the Academy of Voters that could have been swayed by those comments
Mateus, since so many of us have day jobs, what were the comments?
Well, he was at a town hall meeting with actor Timothy McConaughey. That was on CNN on the 21st of last month. And he said, quote, "I don't want to be working in ballet or opera or things like, hey, let's keep this thing alive, even though it's like no one cares about this anymore. All respect to ballet and opera people out there," unquote. And then, of course, he immediately sensed, Walter, the possible impact of what he just said. And then he quipped, quote, "I just lost 14 cents in viewership," unquote. Well, that's not gone over well since he managed to get that out of his mouth in this sort of promotional mode that he's been in constantly, just beating like a dead horse this motion picture. I mean, he has really worked harder than ever actor and any actor I've ever seen to promote this movie. It is just like his personal crusade. And arts organizations across the land, of course, have seized on this immediately. Way out in the West, the Seattle Opera offered a 14% discount for tickets on their performances of Bizet's Carmen if the patron used the code Timothy. So we'll see what happens
really?
At the Oscars.
Really?
Yeah, no,
if
really
they use the promotional code Timothy, that's hysterical.
It was, yeah, and 14%, which is, of course, he mentioned that he lost 14 cents in viewership.
So now, my
he picked a 14% discount.
My daughters are dancers, competitive dancers, but so was Timothy's mother. So is Timothy's mother a trained ballerina. I wonder what mom has to say about this, but I think it's distracting us from this Marty Supreme's greatest scene.
Now look at this, an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Marty, custom ball like that, it's going to cost a lot of money.
It distracts
us from
that
scene. I think John is really great in that scene. I mean, I really is. It's just that whole room, that office that he has, captures it just everything you would imagine that time and place to be. And if there's anything that's great about that movie is the recreation of old New York with its careworn look, little old New York, looking like little old New York. I mean, it's actually more of a star of the film than some of the performances of a lot of non-actors throughout the movie, including
it's like the
ABC.
Yeah, it's like the design and the sets for Mrs. Maisel that captured a moment in time perfectly. Yes, those sets were amazing. And it's interesting about making a set at a particular moment in time. If you really deconstruct it, it's not that complicated. You just put in an older phone, an older file cabinet. It's about precision and getting it all right. But it was very clever. The other thing that they did about it in the movie that was very clever is it captured the secret worlds that my friend only exist in New York. He goes up 10 flights of stairs. He opens a door, and there's a 20-lane bowling alley. Right? Okay, that only happens in New York, but it still happens in New York. You just have to know where. And it was interesting, too, that there was exactly one woman bowling in that bowling alley in 1952. There was one woman. All right, what else should we look for at the Oscars tomorrow night, Mateus?
Well, you know, there's a lot of people that are up for awards. And, of course, if you're looking at Best Actor or Best Actress, of course, we talked about DiCaprio and Chalamet. Even though you weren't so hot, you thought it was forced, the performance of Ethan Hawke in Blue Moon.
Oh, wait, before we reveal my impression of Ethan Hawke, which I know every woman is dying to hear, I want to share the fact that it's 51 past the hour. Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Katzenmatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Katz, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
Another Side of Midnight with Mateus Boom Boom Hollywood in Hollywood. Welcome to Another Side of Midnight. Mateus is going over the movies that are up for the Academy Award tomorrow, including the one starring John Katsimatidis, Marty Supreme. Many have pointed out that Timothy Chalamet is also in it. Gwyneth Paltrow is also in it. Really not important. It is stolen by John Katsimatidis. Mateus, what other movies are up for it? What are their odds of winning? What do you think?
Well, looking at Best Picture, there are titles. There's 10. There's a whole bunch. Begonia, F1, the race car movie, Frankenstein, I mentioned earlier, Hamnet, the story of William Shakespeare's wife, Marty Supreme, of course, One Battle After Another, The Secret Agent, a foreign film, Sentimental Value, Sinners, and Train Dreams. And I think Sinners, with all of its nominations just by default, has got to come out with something. It's going to at least win one of those. And if you think about Michael B. Jordan, who actually plays two roles in it at the same time, that gives him a greater odd than most people, because he's not just doing one performance, but two performances. So that may work in his favor as the statuettes are handed out in Hollywood later today, later tonight, 7 o'clock on the ABC network television. So I think that probably it's going to be Michael B. Jordan, and probably Sinners will come ahead.
You think the Sinners will become the Oscar winner?
I do.
All right, Mateus, Boom Boom Hollywood. How do we find you on social media? And it's great to talk to you and great to hear your predictions. Would you consider coming on Another Side of Midnight again next week with backstage gossip information about Hollywood?
You bet. I can't think of a better place to be than with Walter Sterling on WABC. You can find me on Facebook at Matias Bombal's Hollywood. That's M-A-T-I-A-S, apostrophe, M-A-T-I-A-S, B-O-M-B-A-L, apostrophe S, Hollywood, just like the city. Matias Bombal's Hollywood on Facebook. Thanks so much, Walter.
All right, Mateus, thank you very much. That was a lot of spelling for my listener. A public school kid for sure. You and I are going to chat about that and the conspiracy to keep my kids and yours out of the good schools, to keep them out of the charter schools, the astonishing hatred and prejudice against quality education. When I first heard about charter schools and realized how are they going to be funded out of public funds, taxpayer money, I'm like, oh, this is great. More kids are going to get a quality education, a private school level education. And instead, it is vilified and chastised and mocked. And every new mayor of every city in America starts by saying, we're going to have to do a serious review of charter schools. Why? Why don't you do a serious review of all the schools that suck? Why don't you do a serious review of all of the schools that turn out kids who can't read? Why haven't you taken the lessons of the charter schools and applied them to the other schools? What is that conspiracy? I'd like to know about that, and we'll share that information. Plus, I believe we're going to have a remarkable conversation coming up with a gentleman who lives in Israel, a live conversation, and you. My phone number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, exploring the conspiracy of silence. The conspiracy, I'm not buying any of this crap about the Major General. That story was broken on this show. It was broken from Ross Coulthard of News Nation. He broke this story last week. A Major General disappears at 11 in the morning, leaves home his wallet, his phone and his keys, but takes his gun. Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Network's Walter Sterling.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Katsimatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Katz, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
Now, you young ladies, you went to Temple. Can I ask you some questions about things you may have learned at Temple? Some some basic information. I'd be curious in your answers.
What country is the Great Wall of China in?
Asia.
How many letters in the alphabet?
I don't know. 20.
How many days of the week end with the letter Y?
Three.
Which ones?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
And the other ones end with a what? What ocean is California next to?
Atlantic.
Another side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks, Walter Sterling, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. It's a live radio show. What's amazing to me, what's shocking to me, is not that there are radio stations that and television stations that have a certain point of view that the administration, any administration, might find troublesome. What I find far more troublesome is that there are radio stations that don't have live programming on at 3 in the morning Eastern, midnight West Coast. They don't have live programming on. What is the point? This is a live radio show on great radio stations throughout the country, KMOX, KDKA, WGN, welcome. It's a live radio show. That's what we do. When you want to be the media, all you have to do is call me. And then suddenly you're the media. 800-848-9222. While others have been saying, you know, radio and media stations and television stations that have a perspective and they don't have a balanced perspective, they should lose their license. Yeah, they should lose their license. No. If they want to serve the public, they need to put on live shows. That's serving the public, not having a point of view you disagree with. One of the things about the FCC going on and on about points of view and you're going to lose your license if you don't cover this fairly and all, it's a lot of saber rattling. This is my perspective and my point of view. It's a lot of saber rattling because do you know how long an FCC, yeah, you're going to lose their license. Do you know how long those licenses go for? 8 years. Those are 8-year licenses. And do you know who gets licenses? MSNBC, CNBC, Fox, do they get licenses? No. No. Cable is not licensed. You probably know that. And if I'm mansplaining or radio-splaining, please forgive me. But it's 3 in the morning, and I'm just going to say what I want. CNBC, MSNBC, what do they call it now? You know, Munchkinland, what do they call it now? Fox News, whatever it is. If it's not broadcast over the air, it is not licensed. If it's on cable, that's like a wire going from your house to your best friend's house when you were in junior high. You put a walkie-talkie out the window, you put a wire to your neighbor, that wasn't licensed because that isn't licensed. It is the public airwaves that are shared and belong to you and me, and that's why they're licensed. They're licensed because it's a limited microwave spectrum, and only so many people can have them, so many companies, and that's why there are rules about that. You'll recall the last time there was big trouble with the FCC complaining and is when Howard Stern said things that today would not be fined or noticed. But Howard, and this is important, Howard was not fined. Well, you know, Howard Stern was fined for the things he said. This is like 20 years ago, right? No, he wasn't. The company he worked for that held the license, they got a fine. And they paid off the fine to make it go away. Because their argument, which was correct, we should be able to have adult programming. They were all worried about the kids. Well, we should be able to have some adult programming, was his point of view. And finally, he paid like, what was it, $2 million fine. But it wasn't a fine to Howard. It was a fine to the licensee, the company that Howard worked for. That's who got the fine, not Howard. They don't fine individuals. The FCC doesn't fine individuals. They issue licenses to companies and issue them a little speck, a little slice of the microwave spectrum. Cable does not get licensed. That's why it's, I'm like, really? It's a, yeah, they're going to lose their license. Well, it's every 8 years, and it's they're complaining about cable, And they have every right to complain about cable, just like the guys on cable have the right to complain about them, or I have the right to complain about whatever I'm in the mood to complain about, too. And you, too. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Huntington, oh, my gosh, there's Donna. Donna, welcome Hi. To Another Side of Midnight. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm just calling because I just wanted to talk a little bit about my theory on the Nancy Guthrie
yes.
case.
Yes, what is your theory on this mystery?
I've been researching it a lot. I've been watching a lot of different things about it. And I could be wrong, but my theory is, unfortunately, I think she was a victim of a sexual predator.
A sexual predator?
Yeah,
that's a new theory. And Donna, I want to hear your opinion. Why do you think this poor woman was the subject of a sexual predator?
Because from what I'm hearing, I heard that the perpetrator took the sheets from the bed and stuff like that. And there's been a lot of experts that have been they've been implying that kind of thing is what happened. So
it's tragic, isn't it? Yeah, that's if that's true, that's just tragic. But I don't believe at this point in time that that woman could possibly be alive. And I believe that it was a botched robbery. I don't believe they went in to kidnap her, because if they had gone in to kidnap her, the note would have been ready. The return address would have been available and they would have had evidence that she was alive and they would have collected. And you do not. I mean, Donna, what could be stupider than trying to collect a ransom with Bitcoin? Nobody
knows.
They're
saying that. Yeah, but they're saying the people that were doing that were just opportunists looking to try to exploit the situation and try to get money out of it. They're saying now that they were all like, you know, just crooks trying to make money out of it. But the reason why I'm saying this is because the scary thing about it is a lot of people don't realize that people like that do stuff like that, they're actually they're called geriatric RAPIST. So nobody ever thinks about it, but there is sickos like this that'll actually target elderly people for this kind of crime.
Anybody, Donna, I appreciate the call. Anybody who rapes anybody at any age is a sicko, the worst form, the lowest form of life. Thank you very much for your call, Donna. I appreciate it. Walter M. Sterling, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. I don't believe in the official spokespeople. You will not hear the official spokespeople on this show ever. You will not hear anybody who has a title of press relations under their name. And my friends, Tony, you can call our friend now. He's waiting for your call. Nobody who has an official title will ever be on this show, because who cares? It's prepackaged. It's pre-thought of. If you have a fancy title, you're not going to be on this show. The reason I do this show is that you and I get to share information. You and I get to consider the tragic case of Nancy Guthrie. You and I get to consider where the hell's the Major General. We try to work out why we're wasting 25 years on Mars. Do you realize that we have had a alien craft from Earth on Mars for almost 25 years continuously, and we have found rocks? Why have we been on Mars for almost 25 years nonstop? We've had a rover, a machine, sensors on Mars for 25 years, and we have found rocks. But what I want to share with you now is a not official spokesperson. When I hear about the conflict in the Middle East, when I hear about the problems in the Middle East and in Israel, gentlemen, are you calling my friend in Israel right now? Are we doing that right now? He's waiting for us. Okay, he's waiting for us. What? All right, well, let me just send him a note. I got a text here for you. They are calling you. All right. Dove. His name is Dove. And he lives in Tel Aviv. and he's an Israeli. He also is a Jersey guy, and therefore he's very happy to talk with us at the Red Apple Audio Network. But the perspective of somebody who lives in Israel, a citizen of Israel, and not a high-ranking official, a working guy in Israel, we never hear from them. We always see the official people with the professional crew and cue cards. We all see that, but we never get to hear, what's it like to be there? Are you afraid? Are you worried about what you're going to get bombed tonight? How's that going to go? What do you think the response has been? Has it been correct? Is that the right thing? Because the Israelis overwhelmingly were supportive of Donald Trump becoming president. They wanted Donald Trump to become president. What's the feeling now? I hope they're still supportive. I hope they agree with his actions. But I think they have a much better perspective than you and I could ever imagine. And that's what you and I are going to hear coming up in just seconds. I'm Walter Sterling. The name of the show is Another Side of Midnight. This is the Red Apple Audio Network. So my phone number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And, all right, his name is, we're waiting for Dove to answer the phone. He has a Jersey, I know him, I know he's in Israel, but he has a Jersey cell phone number. Is it ringing? What's going on there? All right. They are calling. I'm texting him now. What's that? Oh, that number? Okay. I don't think he can. See, that's the problem with the international calls. You know, if this was like a big radio show, we'd have this all worked out. But this is much more exciting. Hold on. Hold on. All right. I want to know what the perspective is of somebody who lives there. Because so far, all I've heard is Pete Hegseth and not Netanyahu. I've not heard anybody lower than the general of war, the commander of war, and the head of Israel. I haven't heard from anybody else. I haven't heard from anybody on the ground in Israel. I haven't heard from any Israeli what their perspective is, how they are feeling, how it's going. If they think the progress is being made that should be being made, that's what I want to hear about from the perspective of you and me. Now, the great thing about this show is that if you have a feeling about any of the actions of our government, any of the actions in our land, you pick up the phone, you call, we argue, we debate, we know what we have to do. We give it, get a sense of the kind, but I don't get a sense of anything in Iran or in Israel except the official people. The official people, and so far I only see, what, two official people and some clowns at CNN who confuse me. But what I'm trying to do is get a hold of a gentleman who, in fact, is a bus driver and a cab driver in Tel Aviv who should have a fascinating perspective. And you and I will share that information with him coming up. Plus, I want to talk about this conspiracy to keep your kids out of good schools. And it is a conspiracy. And the conspiracy not only is 100 years old, but it is growing. The conspiracy is worse. When the charter schools started up, I thought that would be great for your business. I thought that'd be great for our culture. I thought it'd be terrific that the level of public school education, labeled charter schools, would improve. Instead, the people who run the charter schools are in an endless fight in every city in America to maintain rather than to be copied. They have to fight to exist. All of that in you, coming up in seconds. Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Network's Walter Sterling.
It's Another Side of Midnight. Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios. Here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Katzenmatidis on the silver screen. Stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Katz, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And hold on one second. I'm doing things I should not have to do. Hold on. There we go. About these schools, and you, coming up, you and I are going to talk to Dave Scott, who's an expert on all. What'd you get? What? You got them? Oh, great. We're going to talk about the private schools and the public schools coming up in just seconds. Here's Dov. Dov is in Israel. What city are you in?
Hello?
Yeah, what city are you in?
I live in Ramat HaSharon, which is just north of Tel Aviv, next door to Herzliya.
Thank you very much for being on the Walter Sterling Show on Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks, based in New York City. Now, it is an honor to speak to you because I am so sick of watching news channels and official newscasts telling me what the official spokespeople are saying, and I never see a citizen of Israel. I never see somebody who works in Israel. I never hear you sharing your feelings about how are things going. Are you worried about having been being blown out by an Iranian bomb? Are you worried for your life, Dov?
Listen, I'll tell you just a brief recap of what's been going on in my life in the last 2 or 3 weeks, so to say. A few weeks ago, I discovered that my dad has lung cancer. He lives over in Fairlawn, New Jersey. And this was about a week before the war started. I flew ASAP to New York because he was going through brain surgery. It was metastatic, the lung cancer. So while I'm there, the first Shabbat, the first Saturday that I'm there, we hear from the religious community that something started in Israel. And from this moment, I now understand that my wife is in danger. My wife and I, we have 7 kids in Israel. I realize that my flights are about to get canceled on the way back, and literally wound up booking after about a week of flights being canceled and whatnot, an emergency flight to Israel. We're the only people, by the way, that we go on emergency flights and we overpay for them in order to go to a war zone. But at the end of the day, my wife needs help. You know, she's with 7 kids, and you know, to fly them out, there's no flight coming out of Israel. So getting on that flight was a story and a half. I didn't even know if I was getting on the flight. I literally took an Uber to JFK. Got on this flight for an ridiculously overpriced amount of money. About 10 minutes before landing in Tel Aviv, the plane starts going around the traffic circle, okay, about 10 times, before the captain goes on the radio and says, there are sirens, there's a rocket attack on the area around Ben Gurion Airport. Then we go into the landing. Between getting off the plane and the baggage claim, we went into bunkers about 5 or 6 times. There were a lot of sirens, a lot of rocket attacks around that hour. And one thing I noticed at Ben Gurion Airport, it literally looked like a U.S. Air Force Army base. And the airport, literally, the duty-free section was completely empty. And so started my road trip, you know, taxi ride back home about, you know, normally it would take about an hour and a half. No traffic, 20 minutes. So, you know, now I'm at home. We literally get woken up every night by these sirens and rocket attacks. Ballistic missiles, that was actually from Iran. Lebanon is joining in on the game as well with Hezbollah. It's scary, but, you know, Israelis we're willing to pay the price.
Dov, there are bombs going off every night while you're sleeping in Israel. How close are those bombs? How close are you to being killed?
They're close. Today no more. This last night we had sirens at 2 o'clock in the morning. There were pretty loud booms. They were in the area. 6:30 in the morning, we also got woken up by a siren. Very, very loud booms. You literally hear. These rockets that are coming in from Iran, they're not accurate. They're not precise. They try to aim for, military bases and government structures, but they wind up falling instead of on these places. They wind up landing literally over our homes in neighborhoods. This is pretty much pieces of these rockets that are being torn to pieces by our air defense systems, in essence. It's scary. It's scary. You don't always have enough time to wake up all the kids in the middle of the night.
And
get into the bunker.
You and I are talking to Dove, a citizen of Israel who has 7 children, living every night as Iranian bombs hail down on Israel. Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks on great radio stations like WGN in Chicago, and a phone number for you at 800-848-9222. I'm Walter Sterling. Now, Dove, who's in Israel live right now, you have 7 children. What do you tell your children that could possibly comfort them as bombs are going off? What, as a parent, do you say to them?
We tell them, listen, look, for us it's kind of easy. We're religious, so we blame it on Hashem, on God. We say God is taking care of us. Look at all these miracles. How many missiles are being sent our way? And thank God, no injuries. As long as we listen to what the government tells us, what our own command tells us, we're more or less in good shape. Everything is fine. We have that faith aspect at the end of the day in our home, and that's obviously what's getting us through all of this.
What is the age range of your children?
Age range of my children. I have my youngest is about 2 months old.
Right.
And my oldest is about 13 years old, a little over.
So they're at the most vulnerable ages. They're at the toughest ages for parenting under any conditions. I can't imagine what you and your wife are dealing with emotionally to keep those children safe. Obviously,
go
ahead.
I'll tell you more. Emotionally, I'll tell you how it's affecting me.
Yes.
So when these attacks started, when this whole war started, I was back in Jersey. And we were coming into a holiday called Purim, which is, funny to say how the Jewish, a story about how the Jewish community of ancient Persia overcame and defeated the Persian Empire, say 100 years ago. A few hundred years ago, not a century. I'm coming into the synagogue, and we read this thing. It's called the Megillah and Purim. And comes in another Israeli with an app. He has a phone app called Red Alert, which alerts, in essence, an alert for Israelis living in Israel from the home front command, notifying us about where there are sirens, where potential rockets can hit. And I hear his phone going off every few seconds. And I'm here in Fairland, New Jersey. I hear his phone ringing, and it's, the same sound that, that the sirens make, here in Israel. And I'm just, jumping, looking for a underground bunker in Fairland, New Jersey. And I told him, you got to Apple with this application, Israelis are willing to pay the price for you to be able to enjoy the holiday here, you know. You know, and that's how it's affecting me, you know.
Now, so tell me,
I can only
this
imagine how it's affecting my kids. My kids, at the middle of the night, wherever they are, you know, all of a sudden they hear these sirens, you know, they're traumatized for life from these things, you know,
Well, of course, yes, of course, I can't even imagine it. I believe you that they're traumatized for life, of course. But I just heard you say something that's interesting, the juxtaposition of what you're saying. There's an app that alerts you as to bombs or threats. Is that what you just told us?
Yes. Homefront Command, the messenger in Israel, they developed an app of their own on top of the Red Alert app. Where they give us notification before the imminent danger is over our head, where they first detect the missiles being launched from Iran or from Lebanon or wherever, where we have about 10 minutes, and we're told to stay in the vicinity of an underground bunker, which helps a lot. There's still a lot of confusion with the app from Home Front Command because sometimes that alert that's 10 minutes before, in essence, how ballistic missiles work in shooting them down. Ballistic missiles are long-range missiles that get shot more or less into outer space. And the higher, you know, over our heads they get shot down, the wider the range where the pieces can fall, right? So initially that alert, you know, 10 minutes before, the range where these pieces of the missile can fall are a lot larger than the actual, you know, range where they will fall when they're actually shut down. So,
because they're... Go ahead.
So in essence, the imminent danger can be over the Dead Sea, in essence, in that area. But, you know, Tel Aviv will get that alert.
What's the name of the app again? Can I see this app? Can I get this app?
It's called Homefront Command. It's GCS based on the location where we're located. And then there's a Red Alert app, which is literally called Red Alert. Which tells us where there are sirens and how often they, you know, pretty much you can follow all of Israel and you can see when there are sirens.
Red Alert app and Home Command app. Dov, who's in Israel, the father of seven children, raising seven children under Iranian bombs going off throughout the country every night. How do you feel? How do your neighbors feel? How do citizens of Israel feel about the work of Donald Trump? How do they feel about the work of the United States of America? How are we doing?
I don't think that Israelis have ever been so happy to finally have a president that's working with us and that's working with our prime minister. I think the cooperation between Bibi Netanyahu and Donald Trump is incredible. And that's pretty much what most of the people around me are saying as well. Without the U.S., I don't think, you know, without God's intervening the U.S. along with us, I don't think this whole operation would have been possible. It's just incredible. We're very happy that we have such a man running the office in the U.S. I think he's doing a lot of good around the world, and you know, hopefully, you know, I hope that in the U.S. They recognize that.
Dov, who's in Israel. It just explained that the people of Israel are supportive of Donald Trump. They believe he's doing a great job. What I can't believe, Dov, is that it has taken 46 or 47 years for a president of the United States to take action on the clear and apparent and urgent and immediate threat that is that Iran has always presented to the United States for 46 years. I know every morning the Ayatollah or whatever that is, somebody from Minecraft gets up and says, death to America. And there are people in my country who actually have the nerve to say, oh, we don't think they were an imminent threat. No, really, they wake up every day with an incredible Air Force, an incredible army, and they say, death to America. What else do you need to know? Death to Israel, death to America. And then they destabilize the whole Middle East always, and they enslave and shame and punish women for being women and speaking and being seen. Well, what the hell else do you need to know? What else do you need to know? Why wait 46 years?
Of course. You know, to be honest, I don't know why we wait, you know, why the U.S. waited so long. You know, as a U.S. citizen myself, you know, I'm kind of in shock here. You know, the chance of death to America, death to Israel, death to America, death to the Western world. These are people, you know, the leadership, in essence, a lot of these countries is very anti-Western world.
They hate us.
Anti-freedom, you know, they're all about oppression. They're all about not educating their people with, you know, if you keep keeping people under the radar, keeping the citizens under the radar in order to be able to do whatever they want and get away with whatever they want. And, finally, the U.S. has a president that's doing something about it. And, hopefully we're going to have a brighter future in the Middle East. And I hope this work you've carried out to the end properly. These ceasefires, as I've said a few times, are not doing anyone any good. They just quiet down the problem and let it grow even more.
Dove is a citizen of Israel. He is speaking to us from Israel, from a bunker. I am grateful for the fact that he is raising 7 children, taking care of the 7 children. Do you have a question for Dove live in Israel? Here's the phone number, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222, because all we ever hear from are the official spokespeople. Here's a citizen in Israel. May have answers to other questions that you and I have. How did you feel, Dove? How did your neighbors feel at the most appalling action on of a president of the United States when Barack Obama, on the last day of his reign, put $1 billion on a wooden pallet, wrapped it in saran wrap, put it in an unmarked airplane, and flew it to Iran? I'm like, what? He liberated the money that we had frozen from Iran, $1 billion, had $500 million more in interest, and he flew it to Iran, unmarked plane, on saran wrap, no kidding, wooden pallet, and like a coward, didn't do it till his last day. When you heard that, when you saw that story, what was your thought? What were your feelings?
To be honest, I don't exactly recall what happened there, but from what you're telling me, it's something that he did on the last stage. Now, my reaction today, if it would have happened today and this is the last day of presidency, would have been, why wait until the last day of presidency in order to take such an action?
Because he didn't have approval, it was a crooked action, and he knew he'd better get out of town.
Exactly. You know what? Why wait? Why wait? You know that this is something you have to do? Why wait?
All right, Dove, I appreciate the time that you've shared with us tonight. Thank you. Prayers for your beautiful seven children, young children. He has one child who's 2 months old, another one who's 13. That's the range of his seven children. How is your wife doing?
My wife, now that I'm back in Israel, she's doing better. Trying to help her out wherever I can, obviously. Our two-year-old daughter, it's her evil birthday today. So hopefully we'll try and celebrate that.
Well, happy birthday to her. And in spite of this, she's going to have a great life. Because of this, she ultimately will have a great life. I appreciate your time. I hope it's okay if we call you again. You're a terrific guest, an honest man, a good man. Take care of those babies, and prayers to you and the people of Israel. Thank you so much for being on Another Side of Midnight, the Red Apple Audio Networks with Walter Sterling. Thank you very much. My phone number is...
You're welcome. Take care.
You bet. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. It's an incredible story. This is Dove that we've been talking to. And Dove has seven children. He lives in Israel. He also is a citizen of the United States. It's a dual citizenship. He's a good man. He's taken care of those seven kids. And he was very clear. The people of Israel are grateful, profoundly grateful, to the President of the United States. They say, finally, thank goodness. In my opinion, the only thought that matters, the only point of view that matters are the people of Israel. How do they feel we're doing? And he says the people of Israel thinks we couldn't be doing better. 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Lauren in New Jersey, welcome to Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling. Hi.
Hello, Walter, and hello, Dove. I just want to express that I am in absolute awe and have been in absolute awe of you, your family, and all the Israeli people. And I don't know how you stay sane and function under those unbelievably horrible conditions of having to live really almost moment to moment, not knowing what's going to go on, what you have to face. And for you raising your children and being strong and have the strength, I am just in absolute awe. I pray every day, and I pray for protection. I believe God saved Donald Trump so that he could save the world. And I'm praying for all of you. And I so appreciate that we have the opportunity to hear you. And please know that we all love you.
Lauren, thank you very much for the call. Dove has explained that the way he deals with his seven children and gets them through this, bombing every night, raising seven children and having to keep them at peace every night, was, he explains, this is the will of God, and God will get those children through it, and that the people of Israel could not be happier with Donald Trump. Whenever I hear clowns, phonies, talking about the fact that they have questioned this and considered... No. Even the biggest phony of all, Hillary Clinton, said, if I get to be president, Iran, be on notice, we will attack Iran. She said that unequivocally as she was running for president. So don't give me any crap. Nobody here wants to hear any crap, but the people of Israel are supportive of Donald Trump 100%, couldn't be happier with what he's done. Robert in Montreal, welcome to Another Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Networks with Walter Sterling. Hi.
Thank you for taking my call, Walter. I feel that President Trump is a modern-day Winston Churchill. He recognized the appeasement policy of the West towards Iran for 47 years, and that has gotten us to the point of a possible world war, because Iran is disrupting the entire Western civilization and economy. So So why I'm saying this about President Trump is because he recognized the danger that Iran posed to world peace. And just like Winston Churchill in the 30s warned the British Parliament that Germany was preparing for war, and they said no. Chamberlain said the appeasement policy, we will go with honor and we will go with peace. And Winston Churchill told him in Parliament, what we got was dishonor and we got war. And this is what President Trump wants to prevent. And I think he's shaming the Western countries into not recognizing this. And Winston Churchill came up with the appeasement quote, that appeasement is like feeding a crocodile, hoping that he will eat you last. It's one of his famous quotes. And I applaud President Trump. He certainly is not an orator as Winston Churchill, but he's not doing too badly either. And I think that he will go down in history as being the man who has saved the Western civilization. And I still remember, I was in high school in the 60s, and I remember my history, because that's what I do. And the quotation I remembered from the book, I remember the words, that the Muslim hordes exploded out of the Arabian Peninsula and conquered North Africa and went all the way up into Spain, spreading Islam by the sword. And they also went up into Europe, all the way to the gates of Vienna. That's why there's a Muslim population in Yugoslavia, in the Balkans, as you know.
Robert?
And, yes.
I appreciate what you're saying, and I also want to say something else, Robert. My daughter has apraxia. My daughter has a severe speech delay. And Robert, I know the challenge you have in sharing this information with us, and you speak beautifully. Thank you very much for calling the Red Apple Audio Networks, Another Side of Midnight with Walter Sterling at 800-848-9599. Walter Sterling, 50 minutes past the hour on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight. It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Katzenmatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Katz, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
All right, you and I just talked to Dov, D-O-V. He is a citizen of Israel and America. It's a dual citizenship. He has 7 children, and he shared with us what it's like to raise 7 children in Israel right now, with the bombs going off all night from Iran. He has an app. To me, this was fascinating and, like, sort of interesting. There's an app called Red Alert that alerts the people of Israel. I got to adjust something. That alerts the people. There we go. That alerts the people of Israel when bombs are coming, when the ballistic missiles are coming in from Iran. It alerts them. It gives them about a 20 or 10 minute alert to seek shelter, to get back into the bunker. We had a little challenge reaching him. And the reason for that was nothing to do with the phone system, which is amazing because my cell phone fails all day and night. I'm not in Israel. My phone system fails all day and night. How about yours? But his does not. But he was in a bunker. He was protecting his family in his bunker. And he had to come upstairs, risk his life, and take our phone call and share with us the information about what it is like to be just a guy with 7 children living in Israel. Because I have no interest in the official reporter, the official diplomat, the official ambassador in Israel or any place else, because that's all crap. I know too much. I know too much about how these newscasts are put together, who puts them together. These are people who order their sandwiches and eat at their desks. People who eat at their desks every day have no idea what you and I go through. They have no idea what it's like to time our life to one day before the cell phone gets shut off. No idea what it's like to live life till one day before the cable or the electricity, or to rush to the check cashing store to pay the bill. Run to the check cashing store. There's a banking system, isn't it? Don't you love to go to the bank of check cashing? The check cashing bank. Say that three times real fast. But that's where too many of us have to go to pay our bills, to get it in on time before the service is shut off. And that's why I have no interest in hearing the official report by people who are sitting in air-conditioned offices in front of the latest model of the computer. That laptop you've got, is that the latest model? Or is that a 2017? Is that something you got off of Walmart Marketplace or Best Buy brand new? Is that something from Facebook Marketplace, where you had to drive to a sketchy neighborhood to get that piece of furniture for your kid who just got home from high school? And, Mom, I need a new desk. Why? Everybody else has a new desk. Why do you need a new chair? Well, George has a gaming chair. A what? Yeah, George has a gaming chair. All right, well, these are people putting together your news and your information who do not worry about how much a gaming chair. Oh, you need a new gaming chair, Corey? Is your private school work done? Is your private school homework done, sweetie? Well, those are the people who put together the news. And $20 million to do what? To read off a prompter? You need to get paid $20 million to read off a prompter, or 10 or 5? To read off a prompter, that's what you have to do. Do you write anything on that prompter? No. The PA writes that. The production assistant writes that. Is that how it works? That's why it was worth the effort to get Dove on the phone. Dove on the phone in Israel to share with you and me what it's like to have bombs going off every night while you're putting 7 babies to sleep. You and I can't imagine. You think Friday the 13th was a challenge? Imagine being Dove, putting together 7 babies right now while bombs are going off and having to explain to them that's God and God will take care of us. That is happening because of the will of God, and God is cleaning up the mess for us to keep us safe for the rest of our lives. You thought you had a challenge convincing your 8-year-old that she had nothing to worry about with thunder? Imagine anti-aircraft missiles and then Israeli missiles responding. Imagine that sound. Imagine that noise. You and I can't. And I hope we never do. But what made me very happy, and it should make us all happy, is that the people of Israel are grateful to what Donald Trump is doing. They're fine. No problem. Walter M. Sterling, Another Side of Midnight on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Catsimatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Cats, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
All right, it's a live radio show, which is what all radio shows should be. That's what the FCC should be annoyed about, not that people are giving their opinion. That's the point. The point of what you and I do is we give our opinion. It's called what? What is it? Oh, America. 800-848-9222, Red Apple Audio Networks with Mike in St. James. Welcome to the biggest all-night show in American radio. Hi, Mike.
Thank you. Do we know, or can we find out, what percentage of the population of Israel agree with Dove on the steps that Netanyahu and Donald are taking?
Long before Donald Trump was president, I talked to Dove on the air, and I asked him, how do Israelis feel about Donald Trump? Now, he had already done one term as president, and he was running again. And what Dove said was, we believe that he was the greatest president ever in history for Israel. He moved the embassy, doesn't get enough credit for that. He's always been pro-Israel. He has a great relationship with Netanyahu, which is half the key to how we're doing with Israel. And he has supported the their army and their freedoms and every belief they have. And then this is never, people seem to forget this. And I'm proud of Trump for not bringing this up. His grandchildren are Jewish. His daughter converted to not just Judaism, to Orthodox Judaism. He is the grandfather of a Jewish family. And they are very supportive of him, and they're very supportive of what he is doing with Iran because, and thank you for the call, Mike, because for 46 years, what the hell has a president been doing? This is a standing threat. Every morning, the people of Iran, the leadership of Iran, wake up and they say, death to America, death to Israel. Thanks for the call, Mike. Death to America and death to Israel. Every morning, that's how they've greeted the day. That is an imminent threat. And how did that start? Well, that started when they seized our embassy in Iran. The Iranians seized our embassy, held hostage, 66 citizens of the embassy. These weren't military people. These were political wonks who were doing service for the United States in Iran. What a treat that must have been for them. Hi, we're going to live in the embassy for a couple years. We're going to live in Iran for a couple years and support the U.S., make sure that we have a good relationship with them. And their thanks was to be held hostage for almost 2 years. And then you and I had to see Ted Koppel every night on TV, which led to the beginning of Nightline, which led to a reporter in a tree interviewing Michael Jackson. Is that what we needed? Is that the sort of thing Iran was doing for us? What the hell? 800-848-9222. 800-848-9222. But there it is. The people of Israel, totally supportive of what Donald Trump is doing. Totally supportive. They wanted him to be president because of what he had already done as president. They wanted him to be reelected. And I believe the reason that you and I do not see Israeli citizens interviewed on American newscasts is they don't want to hear what Dove is saying. They, you know who they are. They are the people who eat lunch at their desk. They are the people who find people on MSNBC to be entertaining and humorous. They are the people who are in private schools and charter schools and don't think your kids should be. That's who they are. They are people who are who can afford indoor parking. Those are the people putting together our news. Well, there are other points of view. No, Israelis don't hear another point of view. They don't see another point of view. They are surrounded by other countries that hate them, that philosophically hate them, can't believe that they're there, don't want them there. Living, breathing anti-Semites. That's what Israelis live with. That's what Israelis live with. And that's why they are pro-Donald Trump. Because what is always forgotten is that Donald Trump is the grandfather of a Jewish family. He is pro-Israel. That's who he is. He is pro-Israel. He will do anything to make sure that his grandchildren are safe and have a safe future in America or anywhere in the world. That's who he is. And the people of Israel are supportive of Donald Trump. when you waver, when you have friends who debate whether or not we're doing the right thing in Iran, that's the answer. The people of Israel know we're doing the right thing. Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks, 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Tomorrow is Oscars, and we have a vested interest in the Oscars because our owner president, John Catsimatidis, a great owner and president, is in the movie with Timothy Chardonnay. Now, we have a great jingle about that. Tony, would you play that jingle? And there's a reason I'm asking you to play that jingle.
You've seen John Catsimatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream,
working for Cats, because he's part of the team on the Red Apple Audio Network.
Now, there's a rumor that John Catsimatidis, the owner of this radio station and this radio network, the Red Apple Audio Networks, might be listening. Now, I realize that having the pressure of being the star of a potentially Oscar-winning movie, Marty Supreme, there's a lot of pressure, a lot of publicity, a lot of work putting into memorizing that script, being part of that movie, the pressure of acting with Gwyneth Paltrow. But, John, I sure hope you will come on the show and discuss this with us. Will you come on the show now and do that? Should I ask you in 10 minutes, what would you like to do, Chief? Send me a text, and let's get John Catsimatidis on this show to talk about his movie experience. Because there he was with Timothy Chardonnay, Timothy Chalamet, who did the most bizarre thing. He decided to grow a mustache. Nobody looked more ridiculous with a mustache than Timothy Chardonnay. And then yesterday, he made the wacky crack about the ballet and the opera, which I believe is a Freudian problem because his mother is a ballerina. His mother taught ballet, and then he trashed the ballet, causing Steven Spielberg to chastise him. That's a very unusual move for you, Timothy Chardonnay. And there, Kevin O'Leary is in this movie. Kevin O'Leary's in the movie, and he's terrific. Yes, I will give you a few minutes, sir. John has promised to come on the air and give us deep background about his part in the movie and what he did in the movie and how successful it is and how well it's doing and how he's probably going to win an Academy Award just for what he did. Now, I want you to hear what he did. I think that would be a good idea. Give me one second here. I got to find it again. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, that's the excitement at the company, that the owner of this company, Red Apple Audio Networks, is the star in a big deal Hollywood movie with Gwyneth Paltrow. I want to know what it was like to work with Gwyneth Paltrow. I want to know what it was like to be in the Marty Supreme set. I want to know what it was like to work with Timothy Chardonnay and Kevin O'Leary. This is a big movie, and it's an interesting movie because it's about, if I told you what it was about, you'd say, really? Yeah, it's about this kid in 1952 who is a champion ping pong player who had an interesting idea. And the interesting idea, hold on a second, I got to pull something up here. I just can't get it easily as I should. Here we go. This one. No, I can't. Here it is. Here is John Catsimatidis scene in the movie.
Now look at this, an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Did you hear that? That's what everybody at the Red Apple Audio Networks hears whenever we bring John a really interesting idea, like taking ping pong balls and painting them orange, or some interesting ideas that I might have, which always are met, no matter who the CEO is, with pretty much like this scene.
Now look at this, an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, here it is.
Custom ball like that, it's going to cost a lot of money.
Clearly, this is a future for John Catsimatidis. Now, look at all the worlds he has conquered. First, he conquered the entrepreneurship of owning retail supermarkets, the hardest business in the world. And then, bonus track, he owns retail supermarkets in the hardest market in the world, New York City. There's nothing tougher than that. Then he expanded to land ownership. Then he expanded to oil refinery. And you and I may have a few questions about being a oil refiner these here days. And then he did something even more interesting, and he decided to become a broadcaster and to become a talk show host. He did that at another station in New York City for a while. And he said, well, heck with this. I want to own a radio station. And he didn't just say, well, let me practice by going to Kansas City or Florida. He bought the biggest AM signal in North America. He bought 770 in New York City, WABC. And he did something that nobody does. In the myth and the lore of American radio, John Catsimatidis and Chad Lopez have done something nobody else has done. They took a dead-in-the-water AM radio station and made it a top 10, top 8 radio station in the toughest market, the number one AM radio station in New York City, and he did it in a surprisingly short time. Now, what was the magic formula? It was common sense. He did a common sense formula. He said, well, you know, maybe we should have on live hosts. Oh, my gosh, John, brilliant. Maybe we should have on urgent news. Urgent, top of mind, well-researched, well-presented news. Yeah, John, go. Good for you. And then we should have a live overnight show hosted by Walter Sterling. That was the last piece he put in.
Now look at this. An orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that is going to cost a lot of money.
Hollywood is circling him. I can't imagine he's going to be running these radio stations, supermarkets, or oil refineries much longer now that he's appeared in Marty Supreme next to Timothy Chardonnay in this stunning scene that you and I have just heard. You want to hear it again? I know you do.
Now look at this. An orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that is going to cost a lot of money.
The interesting thing about the movie Marty Supreme, it is the quintessential New York movie. And John Catsimatidis is the quintessential New Yorker. When you're feeding New York, when you're a retailer selling food, you get to know New York. You know it better than anybody could ever imagine. Have we gotten in touch with John yet, Tony? Has he reached out to us to be on the radio show yet? Tony? Tony, wake up. Come on, guys. All right. My job every night doing this show, which is an honor and a privilege every Saturday and Sunday from 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. on East Coast on the Red Apple Audio Network on all these great radio stations like KDKA, KMOX, WGN in Chicagoland, is keeping the crew awake, not because they don't want to be awake. They're professional as they come. Tony, Bill, never worked for anybody more professional, never worked with anybody more professional. But nevertheless, it is a challenge for all talk show hosts to keep their crew awake, whether it's at 3 in the afternoon or 3 in the morning. I recognize that when I put the show together, when I get to share it with you, Midnight Misfit, I know the real challenge is, am I going to keep the crew awake? So far, so good. You want to talk? We can. 800-848-9222. I know that John Catsimatidis looks forward to hearing from you about the movie that he starred in, Marty Supreme. It is up to be the Academy Award-winning Best Movie of the Year. That's what it's up for. And I hope it wins. Now, I look at the other movies. I've never heard of them. We're, again, in another Oscar year. You're going to grab that phone? We're in another Oscar year where it's all movies I've never heard of. The freaking art house movies. Is there a Marvel movie in there? Is there a science fiction movie in there? Is there a Star Trek, Star Wars movie in there? Was Superman in there? Where the hell was Superman? That's a movie I understood. It's very hard for me to watch a lot of these movies, these public television type movies, these NPR beloved movies. All right. Just seconds. John, welcome to your radio station.
Well, good morning, good morning, good morning. You know, I was supposed to call you in at 2 o'clock, but I had a birthday party for one-year-olds yesterday, and there were 15 one-year-olds there, and for 3 hours. You know how much they, one-year-olds running around could wear you out in 3 hours?
Well, John, you're...
It put me to sleep, finally, for 6 hours in a row, seven, and I never do that.
No, I know you never do that. One of the actually fun things about doing this show is you pay attention, you contribute, you send me notes and information and ideas that I actually are useful, and it could go a very different way with the owner listening. But
Walter, have
you're
any
terrific.
UFOs landed in the middle of the night yet?
We had several discussions about Mars and the shiny things on Mars, and the
What is that thing?
I think it's probably a remnant of a construction project from years ago. But here's the thing about Mars that rarely is discussed. We have had a vehicle, a UFO, on Mars from Earth for over 20 years continuously. Continuously, we've had vehicles on Mars for over 20 years continuously, and we have found rocks.
Well, there's a lot of rocks. There's a lot of rocks on every planet.
Now, you're a very pragmatic man. Do you think we should be sending humans up there to die?
I think we should send robots first.
And that's pretty much what we've been doing. But the robots, you know, first they send them up. Geo really couldn't do that kind of experiment. It couldn't determine if there was anything live in the soil. We got to send up another rocket and another rocket. And what about the face on Mars? Every time that gets asked of NASA, bad answer, conspiracy theory, mystery.
Well, you know, I really believe, I told you, you know, I'm a religious guy. I work with the Greek Orthodox Church. I'm next to the Archbishop, the highest lay person in America. And, you know, one of my jobs is to put together relationships with the Catholic Church, the Jews, the Muslims, everybody. So one time I was going on a long trip on an airplane with the Archbishop, and I got into a discussion with the Archbishop on aliens. And you know what he said? That makes sense.
What?
Our creator, the creator that created the planet Earth, the creator that helped create us and advance us. He says, why do you think out of the zillion planets out there and zillion that he would leave his seeds only on this planet?
Impossible to argue with. John Catsimatidis.
Impossible to argue with.
Impossible. John Catsimatidis is in a movie called Marty Supreme. I have several questions about Marty Supreme. I look forward to hearing your perspective as a businessman about the amount of waste on movie sets. I look forward to hearing about that. Right now, because of the rules you've laid out, we have a hard break, which is your cash register. It's your ATM, sir. Hold on. Just seconds from now, you and I will talk to John Catsimatidis about his experience making Marty Supreme on the Red Apple Audio Networks.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
You've seen John Catsimatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Cats, 'cause he's part of the team on the Red Apple Audio Network.
Now look at this, an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that, it's going to cost a lot of money.
John Catsimatidis, how many takes did that take?
Oh, my God. We got there. Me and Margot, my wife, you know, came with me. We had a great trailer to spend time in and get dressed and before we get down there. So we got there about 7 o'clock in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning, something like that. and we went and had coffee, and we started doing takes probably 9, 10 o'clock in the morning. And guess what? We didn't leave till midnight. I tell you, I mean, and there must have been 200 people on that set. And I don't know what the rules are with the making movies. There must have been 200 people on the set. Everybody was running around. This was my first movie. I mean, this was an experience. Everybody was running around. And finally, when we got to sit down to do the scene, I'm sitting opposite this guy. And it's, well, I found out eventually it was Timothée Chalamet. and he's a young guy and he's a young star. And I didn't necessarily know who Timothée Chalamet was.
No, why would you?
And yeah, I got upset at the director at one point. And I said, how come you're paying all the attention to him and not to me?
It's a very fair question.
But we did 25 takes. Josh Softy, the director, producer, writer. I mean, he's the boss. He ran the operation. He's a perfectionist, and he wanted everything to be perfect. So, I run a business. I've been in every business that you can imagine. I've been in the banking business. I've been in the oil business. I've been in the real estate business. Every business you can imagine, I've been in it. And I admire Josh Softy because he was a perfectionist. He wanted to have a great scene. If it was off, I tell my people, I'll give you an example, that run the supermarket business, to try to achieve 100% of perfection, it costs too much. Try to achieve 95% perfection. You can't have every can on the shelf facing in the right direction. But Josh Softy did a great job. If I ever owned a movie studio, don't put it past me. You never know. If a good deal comes along, you never know what I do. Josh Softy, I'd be the first person I'd say, why don't you come in and let's do a movie together? It was a great movie. It was a great experience. I played opposite. He picked me. He was looking for characters, and I guess he classified me. He knew about me. He knew I ran for mayor in 2013 in New York. That I was a New York character, like a Bill Fugazi. He was a New York character. Donald Trump, a New York character. New York has unique people that always made news or always were in a newspaper because they were characters. And he's the one selected me. And later on, he finds out. And it's not about Marty Riesman, the original big ping pong guy, because this is, it's part of him, but he gets upset anytime you say to him, oh, is this about Marty Riesman? Marty Riesman was a world class ping pong player back in the 50s, the 60s. It was similar to Marty Riesman, and Marty Riesman never did the thing with the orange ping pong balls. So, I had a scene that my son in the movie was the best friend of Marty Riesman. And what happens? What happens is he comes up with a gimmick that we should have orange ping pong balls. And because you could see the ping pong ball coming at you. And I said, I played myself. I said, what the heck you need these orange ping pong balls for? And there was another scene that people talked about where I wanted to be one-on-one with Marty Riesman and my son in the movie was sitting there and I said, get me a goddamn coffee. but that's me normally. You know, I mean, that's the real John Katzmatidis. And I guess that's the reason, you know, Josh Softy picked me out.
It looked and like I your enjoyed, it looked like your office, John. It looked like your office, John.
Papers all over the place.
Exactly. You know,
yeah, let's, but that's me. That's me.
That's you. Let's review that scene again.
Now look at this. It's an orange ball, which no one's ever thought of. See, you're already following it way better. Look at his eyes. You're looking more engaged now.
Buddy, custom ball like that, it's going to cost a lot of money. I mean,
now, as a great entrepreneur, sir, John Katzimatidis, as a great entrepreneur who's the star of Marty Supreme, that could easily win an Oscar tomorrow. But as the star of this movie, when you walked in and you saw there were 200 people working on the set, did it kick in something in you as an entrepreneur, like, what do they need all these people for? The amount of money they could save, does this make any sense? Did you have that reaction?
I had that reaction. I said, all these people on the scene, what the heck are they all doing?
Did they have the woman with the water spray bottles, a holster of refreshments to hand you water and spray you and spritz you and keep you cool? Did they have that?
Yes, there was water all over the place. Everybody, it was like going to high school. They had a cafeteria bar. They had this. They had that. And everybody goes to the cafeteria between 12 and 1 or 1 and 3 or whatever. It was an experience. I've never done a movie before. And this was a real Hollywood movie. I think the budget was $70 million, $80 million. I don't know.
Whoa.
Yes, it was a real Hollywood movie.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, I knew from the director and all, and you and Chardonnay, that it was a real Hollywood movie, but I don't see $70 million in that movie. There were no special effects, were they? There were street scenes and a lot of sets.
What does it cost to have 200 people running around?
It cost a lot of people to have 200 people running around. Now, did you have any time with Kevin O'Leary? Did you get to share a millionaire conversations with him?
He's a character of all characters, and I interviewed him on WABC in New York, and it was an interesting interview, and I'm going to tell you about it, and I'm going to send you a copy of the interview, and you can talk about it whenever you, but it was an interesting interview. He played a real tough businessman, but the kind of businessman people don't like, and that was his character. I mean, you see him and you say, I don't want to work for that guy. That's the character he played, and I don't know if that's a real Kevin O'Leary, but and I said to him, Kevin, the Marty Supreme, Marty was trying to borrow, you know, he was trying to borrow money from me for ping pong balls, and he was trying to get Kevin O'Leary's character, who owned a pen company or something worldwide, to send him to Japan to play the big movie role, to play the ping pong role.
Right. He owned an ink company.
At one point, just to show how superior he is as a boss, which I think the nicest way I could say it sucks. And he said to Marty, he's in a big party with a bunch of his other friends. They were having a big black tie party.
Right.
And he says, and Marty snuck into the party, and that's the way he got to see him. He says, go to my office and get, there's a ping pong, there's a battle. Says, okay. So they're sitting around smoking cigars and laughing with his other rich bosses. Marty goes into his office, gets the paddle, and he says, you really want to go to Japan? He says, yes, I'll do anything. He says, drop your drawers, drop your pants, and bend over. So there is Marty dropping his pants, his bare ass, And there he goes with Kevin O'Leary's character, and he's going to whack him on his behind. And they did 20 or 30 scenes.
It wasn't a double.
So I'm going to get to the punchline. Ready? I said to Marty, he was. I'm sure there was a double playing him. He says, well, when we were shooting till midnight, there was a double. But then Timothy Chalamet said, I want to do it myself. So when I announced to millions of people listening to our radio show, that was really Timothy Chalamet's butt. An extra million women went to see the movie to see the real butt of Timothy Chalamet.
Oh, nothing sold more tickets than that scene, I promise you.
That was a butt scene.
That's pure method acting there, sir. Pure method acting. You and I are talking to John Catsimatidis, the owner of the Red Apple Audio Networks, the owner of a all-American and Canadian oil refinery, and the owner of two great supermarket chains in the Northeast. Now, the reason I hesitated there is I want to ask, would you like to chat with some listeners?
Well, I can stay on for a few minutes, no problem.
All right. You and I are talking to John Catsimatidis. The number is 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. And he is a star of Marty Supreme, a movie that's up for an Academy Award tomorrow at the Oscars. And here's Danny in Michigan. Welcome to the Red Apple Audio Networks. Danny, you're talking to John Catsimatidis, the boss.
It's a high honor to speak to John. I love his station. John, you're a natural ham. You got to make more movies. I saw the movie. I think you were great in it. The way you present, you were sitting there. You looked like the boss when you were sitting there. Also, Charlie Finley wanted to make orange baseballs at one time way back when. John, you know, you're like Kelly Savalas now, but you don't have to shave your hair. Don't shave your hair.
I'm not shaving my hair. No. Even though it might be going away by itself, some of it.
Yes, that's true. John, in New York City, I noticed Greeks love to live in Italian neighborhoods, whether it be Pelham Bay or Astoria or Bay Ridge or Massapequa. But Greeks, they hate Italians. Why do they want to live in the same neighborhood with them? Can you expand on that?
Well, you're wrong. Greeks and Italians, you know, all my Italians say, una faccia, una razza. We're the same people. Greeks love Italians. Italians love Greeks. We are one people. And we almost merged together in the, what was it? The 14th century, when the Ottoman Empire, or now known as the Turks, my mother was born in Constantinople, you know, and that's called Istanbul. And as the Turks moved in, the Ottoman Empire moved in, and they were going to take over Greece. The Greeks started to move towards Italy, and the fact is that the half of Sicily is Greek, Naples. Is a Greek city because you know what Naples stands for? Neapoli, Naples, new city, and that's the Greek word. And the Italians, I got to admit something. The Italian food. I love the Italian food, and according to my DNA, I'm 28% Italian, and so we're one people. And the Italian people are great. I'm a member of the Columbus Club in New York City. I spend a lot of time with my friends. I spend a lot of time with the Greeks. I mean, we had a big loss in the Greek community last week. We lost the big Ernie Anastas.
Ernie Anastas.
Ernie Anastas was the greatest. I mean, I can't imagine Ernie Anastas without a smile on his face. He always had a smile on his face. He was 82 years old, but he didn't look a day over 62.
He didn't look a day over 42, the SOB. He was incredible looking and nice and professional and defined how you're supposed to behave as a broadcaster. Thank you very much for the call at 800-848-9222, 800-848-9222. Now, you own an oil refinery. We need to chat for 60 seconds about the price of oil and what you think the situation in Iran is going to do. And before I forget, I'm going to leave you an MP3 that you might want to use on your show. I asked an Israeli citizen tonight in Israel. He's in Israel. He has seven kids in Israel. The bombs are going off over him. And I said to him, what do the people of Israel feel about Donald Trump and about what he's doing with Iran, and how do Israelis view Donald Trump? He said, we think he is the greatest president in history. We love everything he's doing for us. We have always respected him. He went on and on and on, and that might be something the president might want to hear. Now, you own an oil refinery. Could you please share with us what you think the future of the price of oil is?
Yes, the BBC called me last week because they wanted the American perspective. The BBC and I was on the BBC for the European point of view of the American perspective. And I was on with CNN London, CNN International. And, you know, for some reason, they don't like us. That's the feeling I want. And they had a position to push within the European community. And, you know, the European community is, I hate to use the word left and right, but they've been moving left for so long that the European community is in danger of being taken over. You know, if people keep moving in, and I'm talking about the Asian people, I'm talking about the Arab people. You know, one of the reasons for Brexit.
What?
The British woke up one day. Great Britain was 67% British.
Right.
And they woke up one day about 10 years ago, 15 years ago, and they said, "Oh crap, we're only 47% British."
Right.
Because they got invaded. They got invaded from Africa. They got invaded from some of the Muslim nations, the Arab nations. They got invaded from all over the place. So they had an oh crap moment, and I firmly believe that's the reason. So when I was in Greece, because I'm a Greek background too, 2 years ago to introduce Mike Pompeo on something, you know, I gave a firm speech, and you know what I said?
What? What?
Greece is, I believe Greece is for Greece. Italy is for Italians. Germany is for Germany. And France is for the French. Great Britain is for the British. We could visit, but let's have visitors, let's have workers, but let's not get invaded.
Yes, sir. John on Long Island, welcome to the Red Apple Audio Networks with John Katzimatidis, movie star.
Thank you, sir. Yes, it's quite an honor to speak with Mr. Katzimatidis, movie star and grocer extraordinaire. How are you, Mr. Katzimatidis?
Well, you know, I'm trying to, you know, for the last 40 years, I go on television for an interview or something, so Katzimatidis, the grocery man. And I've been trying to get rid of that title.
You're the radio man.
Now they call me the oil man. They call me the real estate guy. I said, I don't care what you call me. Don't call me late for dinner.
There you go.
I have to be honest, Mr. Katzimatidis. I know you from the radio. You will always be the radio man to me. And the way that all your hosts love you and praise you just says the world about you. And it's you know, I just really respect you and your stance. And I really respect what you stand for.
Thank you. I try to stand for common sense, and it's not a, no. You know, I was a Bill Clinton Democrat because I love Bill Clinton. I thought he was a common sense guy.
Yes.
And I know Donald Trump for 50 years now. I mean, and Donald Trump you know, is he a Republican? He is a businessman. I would say he's a businessman first, a Republican second. And because he does what's best when he's running the country, he's running the country because he has a little bit of a from a businessman point of view. I'll give you an example. When Ukraine, he says, you guys need $10 billion or $100 billion? We'll give you a $100 billion credit line, but you know all the rare minerals that you have underground? We're going to get our money back someday.
Marty Supreme is the movie that John Catsimatidis stars in, up for the Oscar tomorrow. Cats and Cosby, every Monday through Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. And for gosh sakes, if you have fantasies about being an entrepreneur, I order you to buy the book, How Far Do You Want to Go? And the great thing, if you've enjoyed listening to John tonight or whenever he's on the radio station, that's what the book reads like. It's written the way he speaks. And John Catsimatidis, thank you very much for sharing this time with us. I know that you just recovered from a one-year-old birthday party. You have a party tomorrow night for your movie, Marty Supreme.
The Oscar. We have a big Oscar movie tomorrow night. I mean, you know, for those, what's the New York word? For all those people that didn't want to schlep all the way to Los Angeles to be among all those people, we're having a New York City Oscar party.
Another Side of Midnight, Red Apple Audio Networks, John Catsimatidis, Walter Sterling.
It's Another Side of Midnight.
Political humorist T.J. McCormick.
Now, to the Bernard McGurk Studios, here's T.J. McCormick.
You've seen John Catsimatidis on the silver screen, stealing the show in Marty Supreme.
And now Walter Sterling's living his own dream.
Working for Cats, cause he's part of the team. On the Red Apple Audio Network.
Jake Novak, a real journalist and great broadcaster. When I first heard you on the station, which was, I think, your first day, I'm like, whoa, that's what it's supposed to sound like, Jake. Good evening. Welcome to the biggest all-night show in American radio. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Yeah, and I guess I'm the watchman who changes from the night watch to the morning watch, because I'm officially the morning when I start. So, yeah. This is the changing of the guard. This is like Buckingham Palace.
Now that you've surveyed the news of the night, you know what you're going to lead with at 5 a.m. Please share with us the one or two stories that intrigue you personally, Jake.
Well, obviously, the latest from the war in Iran is really interesting. And all the major stories that the rest of the news media, including a lot of the right-wing news media, are missing. Iran has made a major capitulation, by the way, in the last 24 hours. That not enough people. Well, you know, they were basically saying since the beginning of the war that they were going to attack every single ship going through the Strait of Hormuz, no matter what, unless the United States and Israel stops attacking them. Well, in the last 16, 18 hours or so, they've downgraded that condition quite a bit. The media, some of the media is covering it, but they're covering it as if it's a new threat. Actually, it's a big walk back. And Walter, I'm very interested in what's going on in Cuba, and no one is reporting except for very, very brave people on the ground in Cuba. And there was yet another major violent uprising against the regime last night. So, you know, those are two. I got a lot of news, obviously, but those are two things especially standing out to me.
I know a little bit about Cuba, and it's amazing the misunderstanding and misperceptions that most Americans have about life in Cuba. Life in Cuba is hell. Now, if they visited a resort there by flying through Canada and they landed at a resort, they have a very distorted view, because at the resort, they also told you to never leave the resort. Mm-hmm. And the reason for that is the poverty is profound, that if you misbehave, they'll turn off your air conditioning. They reward people with soap, and that is life in Cuba. And oh, yes, the joke, but it's also a fact. There is no new cars there since 1958. That's a fact. It is a horrible place to live. The reason people risk their lives and their families by getting in a boat to come to America is because life is hell. I hope we liberate them. And again, I don't know why no clownish president we have had for the past 60 years did not try to liberate them.
Yeah. And by the way, everything you describe has just gotten worse since the United States extradited and got Nicolas Maduro out of Venezuela, because Venezuela was providing a little bit of a lifeline, a little bit of help.
Right? Is that right?
Yeah, they were providing them oil and also money, and that's been cut off. So the bad conditions that Cuba's been living under for so many decades just got worse about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And that is what has been the thing that's really broken the back there. And now we learned on Friday that President Canal, who's, you know, I call him president. I hate using these terms when these people aren't really elected and it's just a dictatorship. But all right, the dictator Canal, he announced on Friday, oh, yeah, we've been having talks with the United States, and not just about a little relief effort. We've been having talks with them about a major change in our status between the two countries. So a lot of people got excited about that. Oh, this could be the beginning of them capitulating. Maybe they'll open things up for more economic trade. Maybe they'll step down and allow real elections. But the people of Cuba, Walter, they're not waiting. Friday night going into Saturday, they took over a Communist Party headquarters in another city, not Havana, and burned it to the ground, apparently. And then last night in another city, there was another attack on another Communist Party headquarters. So they're not waiting for these talks to pan out, because they're having rolling blackouts. It's gone from bad to worse real quick over there.
Other stories that have intrigued you?
Well, I'm very interested in, obviously, these... I mean, the war on the Jews in the world has gone kinetic. It's gone fully kinetic now. They are attacking synagogues all over the world, not just the United States. We've had two synagogues firebombed in Holland just in the last couple of days. And it's well past time, something that I've been working on for a long time. You know, in this country, Jewish people can arm themselves, they can train themselves, they can protect themselves. They can't do that in Europe. They can't do that in Canada. And the turning point for the community should have happened 10, 15 years ago, frankly. But it seems to be happening now, at least a little bit more here and there. But let's put it this way. People owe their ancestors who had no opportunity to defend themselves to take advantage of our rights here in the United States. That's something I've been looking at regularly. And, you know, yesterday we were lucky. We got away with no attacks here in the United States. Obviously, that's the Jewish Sabbath. That's when the synagogues are packed. But you know, the NYPD was watching here. Yeah.
Did you hear what you just said? That yesterday, single day, we, the Jews, were lucky that we weren't attacked.
Yeah.
There was a whole day. There's a image that I encourage Midnight Misfits, my children, to hold in their head. Here's an image to hold in your head as to why Jews deserve all of the protection we could possibly provide. There's well-known imagery from the Holocaust, well-known imagery from the camps, well-known imagery about being herded onto train cars to be slaughtered. But here's the image that I encourage you to never forget. They weren't just put onto train cars. They were put onto open flatbed train cars that they shipped coal in and shipped that way in 20 degree weather for miles and miles and miles. Don't forget. Walter Sterling, the greatest gift you and I can receive is a request for help. Thank you, Jake Novak.
Turn your tax refund into better sleep at Mattress Warehouse. Save up to $850. Plus, get a free adjustable base and enjoy our exclusive lifetime price guarantee. Only at Mattress Warehouse. Because we're more than a mattress store, we're Mattress Warehouse.
The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.